Please, if you would, look in your Bibles this morning. We're going to begin in 1 John chapter 4. Today's Sunday, July the 19th, 2026. We're going to 1 John chapter 4. This morning, I'd like to just do a little review looking at love and forgive. The two go hand in hand. We're going to start in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Isn't that remarkable? God reveals himself in his word. God is love. That is who God is. That's his very nature, is love. Now, some people might not think that, but that's what he says in his word. God is love. And verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. How did he manifest the love of God toward us? His love toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now that's love, isn't it? Herein is love. Not that we loved God. It wasn't us loving God first and being so holy and righteous. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or full payment for our sins. Beloved, verse 11. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. In Ephesians 5, it tells us to be imitators. It says followers in King James, be followers of God. And the word is imitators. Be imitators of God. God's word says that we should edify one another in love, right? I heard this line, I don't know when I heard it, but it's good. Love people where they're at, not where you think they should be. That's good advice, isn't it? And really, isn't that how God loves us? Romans 5 says, God commended his love toward us when we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. So God's the one that initiated the love. Herein is love, verse 10, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And when it comes to loving people, it doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they believe. It doesn't mean you have to approve of things they do in their lives or partner with them in whatever they're doing. You know, go rob the bank with them because I love you and I'll go with you. It doesn't mean that. We just love people where they're at, not where we think they should be. Love is such a huge topic in God's word. I wrote a couple of things down this morning. Remember when they asked Jesus Christ, what's the greatest commandment? And they were asking not to get wisdom and understanding of God. They were trying to trip him up. What's the greatest commandment? And he said, well, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, on these two hang the whole law. That's the whole law. And then we can read in the church epistles in Romans where it says that all the law is fulfilled in this, love. And we looked not too long ago at 1 Corinthians 13 where it says, now abideth faith, hope, charity, believing, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And then you can also read in the epistles where we are encouraged to love more, to abound in love. So it's a really big topic. And when it comes to love, God's the one that set the bar, right? To be imitators of God, to love like he loved. And as we'll see, God also set the bar pretty high for forgiving as well. The two go hand in hand. God loves and forgives us. We, in turn, love and forgive others. I wanted to spend a little more time on forgive. And if you would go to Acts chapter 2, just to gain maybe a little more understanding of God's forgiveness for us. And in doing that, we're going to look at three of the words that God uses for forgiveness. And I think it'll help us to get maybe a bigger picture of this forgiveness that we have from God. So we're going to Acts chapter 2. This is day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The word translated remission, it's the Greek word aphesis. It's interesting that on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, aphesis, of sins. That same word is used in Matthew at the Last Supper when Jesus Christ took the cup and said, "This is my blood," in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This word means the pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had not been committed. So verse 38 again, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, the pardon, the letting go as if they'd never been committed. We see this same word again in Ephesians 1, Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 7, in whom we have, now this is to born-again ones, we have redemption. We've been redeemed. And it was through His blood. Jesus Christ died. We have redemption. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His, God's grace. And again, this is that word aphesis, and it means a pardon of sins, letting them go as if they'd never been committed. Next book, Colossians, or Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 says almost the same thing that we just read in Ephesians 1. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had not been committed. So that's how God forgave us. He pardoned us, and the wrong that we did, He just let it go as if it had never happened. That's pretty deep, isn't it? Now, in chapter 2 of Colossians, there's a different word. So if you go to chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together, made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And this word forgiven, it's a different word. It's the word charizomai. The word charizomai basically means freely given grace. Grace that's freely given. And in this context, it's used of, as you see there, trespasses or sins. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. It means freely and graciously pardoned. Not grudgingly or forced to do it, but freely, graciously forgiven or pardoned. And as we saw before, God lets them go as if they'd never happened. This word charizomai is also in Ephesians 4. So if you back up to Ephesians again, a verse that we're pretty familiar with. Some people have memorized it. It's a beautiful verse. But this charizomai also is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. Okay, I'll be kind. Tender-hearted. Ooh, okay. Then it says, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And again, this is charizomai. Freely and graciously pardon. And it's used twice in this verse. God freely and graciously pardoned or forgave us. He let them go as if they had never been committed, as if we'd never sinned. And here in this same verse, God tells us to do the same thing. So we forgive people not grudgingly, not because we're forced to, but freely and graciously pardon. You know, we just read a few minutes ago in 1 John where it says, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So we love like God loves, and we forgive like God forgives. The love and the forgive, they go hand in hand. One more of this charizomai in 2 Corinthians 2. So back up to 2 Corinthians 2. We're not looking at every single occurrence, but just to give us a little, maybe a little broader picture of the forgiveness that we have that God did for us with the words that he chose to use in his word. 2 Corinthians 2:7. So that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him. It's talking about somebody that did something. You ought to forgive him and comfort him, and that could also be translated encourage. Forgive him and comfort him. Why? Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. And again, this is charizomai. Freely and graciously forgive others so that they're not swallowed up with excessive grief, so they won't go around feeling guilty and condemned and full of sin consciousness. God's forgiveness to us is freely and graciously given so that we're not swallowed up with excessive grief, so that we don't live our lives with sin consciousness, condemnation, unworthiness, and all that junk. There's one more word we're going to look at, and it's in 1 John chapter 1. Another familiar verse, 1 John chapter 1. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is another word that's used. Aphiemi is the Greek word. And this word means to send away, to dismiss, to set free, to remit the punishment, where the guilty person is dealt with as if they were innocent. Isn't that something? God's faithful and just to cancel the punishment, dealing with us as if we were innocent. Innocent? Me? Innocent? Keep your marker or something here and go to back to Colossians for just a minute. Colossians 1. Innocent? God's going to treat me as if I was innocent? How big is this forgiveness, this pardon, this letting it go as if we'd never committed? Well, look at the results of the new birth in Colossians 1, verse 21. And you, yes, you, and me, that were sometime or formerly alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Remember not too long ago we were looking in Ephesians how before we got born again we were strangers and foreigners from the covenants, not having no hope in this world, but now we're no longer strangers and foreigners, fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. So that's what's saying. Before you were alienated and enemies in your mind. Verse 22, he's reconciled us, verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, or his death, to pay the full payment. And as a result, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. This is just mind-blowing, isn't it? When we got born again, Jesus Christ presented us in God's sight, to present us in His sight, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. And unreprovable could also be translated unimpeachable. That's kind of overwhelming, isn't it? That in a moment of time, boom, Father, here's another child. They're holy, they're unblameable. All the junk is gone, as if it never happened. We can go back to 1 John if you want to. I spend some time in that section in Colossians in the presentation. It's God I trust, because it's so important for us to see ourselves as God sees us. So often all we do is see our junk. And preachers, they don't help, because they tell their people, you're broken, you're miserable, you're sinners, you're... What did God say? Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in whose sight? His sight. We might not be holy, unblameable, unreprovable in other people's sight, but in God's eyes. When we got born again, all our sins were remitted. They were let go as if they never happened. God freely gave us a gracious pardon for all sins, dealing with us as if we had never sinned. In God's eyes, we are holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. We're forgiven. And then after we're born again, when we miss the mark, when we fall short, and we will, we read in 1 John, we go to the Father and say, I've screwed up, I messed up. And we read that God is faithful when we do that, to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God dismisses and sends the sins away, canceling the punishment and treating us as if we were innocent when we go to Him. These are words that God uses to tell us what He did for us regarding our sins. No, looking at this, no wonder it says in Romans 8, who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's going to bring up charges against you before God? It says God that justified. Then it says, who's he that's condemning? Christ that died, who rather is risen, who sits at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us? Oh, how special we are. Did we deserve any of this? Did we earn it? No. The more you look at the new birth, the bigger it gets. It's just like, oh my goodness. We don't have forgiveness of sins because we're sorry that we did it. Man, I'm really sorry I did that. We don't get forgiveness for being sorry. We don't get forgiveness because we feel so bad that we did it. We don't get forgiveness because we just promise, I will never do that again. None of that gets us forgiveness. We have forgiveness because Jesus Christ paid the full price. So back here in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, this is after we're born again, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, well, guess what? We make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. I'm not writing this so you just go sin. But if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the full payment, propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Isn't God's love and forgiveness just stunning? It's absolutely stunning. And so sin is still sin. This doesn't change, you know. I mean, if it's wrong, according to God's word, according to God's standard of justice, man's standard of justice may say, this is not wrong, this is not wrong. But God's word is what sets the standard for what is right and what is wrong. And when we fall short, we go to our Father for His forgiveness. And He said that He is faithful and just to forgive us. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid the price. the penalty for our sins has been paid. So the big question is, do we really believe that? We need to accept God's forgiveness and not live our lives swallowed up with sin consciousness, guilt, condemnation, shame, and unworthiness. Take a look at chapter 3, if you would. Chapter 3, verse 20. 3:20, 1 John. If our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. What does God know? He knows who we are. He knows we are His, that we're His dear children. He knows that we're holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. He knows that we are righteous. He knows that nothing's ever going to separate His love from us. It says, if our heart condemn us, and that word condemn means to point the finger, to accuse, to find fault. If our own heart is finding fault with ourselves, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, verse 21, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward God. What a great verse. And so many people don't have confidence toward God because of sin consciousness, condemnation, crap they've done in their past that they're still carrying. And as a result, they don't have confidence toward God. You see, we either have God's forgiveness or we don't. There's no in between. We either have His forgiveness or we don't. God either forgave us of all our sins or He didn't. But He said He did. So we have to take His word for it. Not how I feel. Got to take His word for it. And not accepting God's forgiveness, carrying guilt and shame and all that stuff, greatly interferes with your relationship with God. But it's just up to us to accept God's forgiveness that Christ died for. Part of the completed work of Jesus Christ was the full payment for all sins, all of the sins. Remember what John the Baptist said? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, all of them. That one sacrifice of a perfect man paid the price for all sins, all of them. And, you know, sometimes a person carries guilt and shame and sin consciousness or condemnation for things in the past. Sometimes people carry that their whole life. But Jesus Christ paid the price, and God has forgiven you. God let it go as if it never happened. How could He do that? As if it never happened. His gracious pardon dismissed it, canceled the punishment, and dealt with us as if we were innocent. Oh, my goodness. You know what? It takes humility to accept God's forgiveness. And a lot of times people dwell on how bad the sin was. Yes, but I did. Stop looking at you and look at Him. It takes humility. He's forgiven you all of it. It's over. Oh, my goodness. Does that mean that, well, I guess it just doesn't matter what I do, because if I screw up, you know, I can just go to God and say, I'm sorry, and then He's faithful and just to forgive me. And, you know, God's forgiveness is that we just read in chapter 2, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if it happens, we have an advocate with the Father. And in Romans it says, what? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So we read earlier in 1 John 4 that God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Ephesians told us, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And before we close in Ephesians, look at Matthew 18. Matthew 18. We have Peter asking Jesus a question. We can't go to Jesus and ask Him a question like they did, but as we heard in manifestations this morning, we can certainly go and ask our Father to get an answer. In Matthew 18, verse 21, then came Peter to Him and said, Lord, How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How about seven times? Will that work? Verse 22, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And by the way, that word forgive there is aphiemi, to send away, dismiss, to set free, to remit the punishment where the guilty person is dealt with as if he was innocent. How many times do I have to do that if my brother sins against me? Seven times 70. How's that? And I don't think Jesus wanted us to carry a scorecard. No. It means unlimited. You just keep forgiving. And Jesus didn't say, well, forgive him if he's really sorry. If he's not really sorry. Or forgive him if he promised he's not going to do it again. He just said forgive. And that's what God tells us. Just forgive. Just forgive. Sometimes people are reluctant to forgive because they go, well, you know what? He's not even sorry. I've forgiven him. Or, and this is not the first time they did this either. I'm just supposed to forgive him? Yes? Forgive. You know, when we forgive someone, it doesn't mean what they did wasn't wrong or hurtful. Forgiving people doesn't mean they're getting away with something because we forgive them. God said, forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I heard a long time ago, you'll have no problem forgiving others if you'll just stop and remember what God's forgiven you for. And it doesn't mean if someone is hurtful or doesn't mean you have to continue to take it. Sometimes we have to graciously excuse ourselves, but we still forgive. One of the things that's really important about forgiveness is when you forgive someone, it is not about them. It's all about you. It's not about the person who hurt you, it's about you. And yes, forgiving someone can be a benefit and a blessing to that person if they know that you forgave them. But sometimes that's there's not an opportunity to forgive them. But regardless, when you really forgive, you will no longer carry the weight of that hurt, the anger, the resentment, and especially the bitterness when we forgive. You know, sometimes people say, well, I forgive them. But they still carry anger, resentment, and bitterness. If you truly forgive someone, you gotta let it all go. It's what God did for us. Just moved it all away. We can't carry resentment and anger or bitterness. And it may take mental work to get past that, to get past the hurt. But you know, whether you're a Christian or not, anger, resentment, bitterness is very harmful to you mentally and your physical body. And maybe that's why here in Ephesians 4, we're going to close. We read verse 32, but let's back up to verse 31. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away. You know, there are times, many times, the other person doesn't even know they hurt you. And other times where they don't care. And yet sometimes people carry anger, resentment, bitterness for years. We need to just forgive and let it go, because that's how God forgives us. Psalm 103 says, God has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. So if God doesn't deal with us after our sins, why do we want to deal with other people after their sins? We just forgive. And one of the greatest displays of forgiveness that you can read about in the Bible, you can read it in Luke. Jesus Christ, the only perfect man who ever lived, who always did the Father's will, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. There he was, beaten to a pulp, bloodied, thorns in his head, nailed to the tree, and said, "Father, forgive them." And that word forgive that's there in Luke, that's aphiemi. Send away. This is what he's praying. Send away, dismiss, remit the punishment where the guilty person is dealt with as if they were innocent. That's what he prayed. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. What an example, wouldn't you say? Well, if we call ourselves followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to be people who love and forgive. And finally, verse 32 again. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Don't hold on to it. Forgive. And if your heart still hurt, because things people do to us can hurt. We all been through it. And that's why I said before, sometimes you have to graciously excuse yourself. You know, my face is too swollen for you to keep hitting me there. I'm going to go to the park. I'm going to go to the next town. If it's still hurt, ask God to heal your heart. Healing from God is available mentally, physically, and spiritually. God knows our hearts. But first, forgive. Let it go completely, and then ask God to heal your heart. It might take some time, but God can heal our hearts. So, love and forgiveness go hand in hand. I hope you saw that a little bit today, how it goes hand in hand. So, what we want to do is to accept God's love, and then love others. We love people where they're at, not where we think they should be. I mean, he should be. Just love people where they're at. And that's what God did for us. So accept God's love for you and accept God's forgiveness for you and forgive others. Father, thank you for your word that shows us how big you forgave us. And it's just overwhelming. Thank you for the forgiveness we have because of your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the full price for all of our sins. And Father, may we not only accept the forgiveness and see ourselves how we are in your eyes, but that we can love and forgive others. Thank you, Father, for the complete salvation and redemption that we have from our Savior, Jesus Christ. We look forward to him coming back. Until that time, may we just grow in our love and forgiveness. I pray, Father, for everyone here today, those on the hookup, those that might hear the teaching at a later time. Please bless them, and thank you for the great privilege, Father, to share a little bit of your word with your people this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.